our town.
Hello, neighbors, and welcome back to Nightmare Town. We are Betty Boom.
And I'm Mandemonium.
And this week we are doing...
Fun and Games.
Oh, I'm excited about... I know I say I'm excited about every episode, but it's because
it's
I am.
It's okay, me too.
I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't get excited about the things that we're talking about.
I thought about pulling up a thesaurus and just looking for, like, synonyms for the word excited so I can use a different word other than excited, but excited's a good descriptor for how we feel most episodes.
I'm elated. Is
that a good one? That's a good one.
Yeah. So I'm elated for this episode.
I'm ecstatically looking forward to this episode.
Yes. But yeah, we are doing Fun and Games, and we're just going to jump right into it. I think we'll talk about some stuff here near the end, because we do have some announcements. So maybe stay tuned for the end of it, or skip ahead, you know, whatever you want to do.
Your choice. You're in control of the button.
But if you listeners. If I was in control of that button, you wouldn't go anywhere. Stay right where you were. All right, so it is my turn to go first. Yes? Yes.
Yes.
So, I put a little tagline before my notes actually started. And it says, it's all fun and games until you get abducted by the fae folk. I'm covering fairies.
Yes. I love that subject.
I think we've talked about fairies a couple of times, just like briefly.
Yeah.
And recently, Amanda has been posting on the Faces book and whatnot, and she posted a meme that perfectly depicted what I was covering, and I was like, oh shit.
Wait. I love that. That's hilarious.
I was like, did I post that? I didn't post that.
You're like, I would never post a spoiler like that.
I was confused, but also excited. I'm like, wait a second. Are we on the same wavelength?
Yeah, I saw that meme in, like, a Facebook group called, like, This is Fae Propaganda, if I've ever seen it. They always post pretty funny memes, so I was like, oh, sharing that one, that's great.
Oh, that's great. So if you don't know what it is over on our Instagram as well as our Facebook page, which you can find at Nightmare Town 18 on both of those. But, yeah, no, it was just, it was perfect.
That is perfect. So you're going to tell us how to get abducted by the Fae today?
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and jump into my notes. It's not really that I'm telling you how to get abducted. It's that I kind of want to talk about fairies in general. And there is talk about abductions. And there is talk about what to do if that happens. So.
Well, I'm excited to hear it.
Yay.
I'm elated to hear it.
The views concerning fairies has morphed and developed over time and by region. In early pre-Christian Europe, these beings likely originated as lesser spirits or deities. As Christianity spread, these beings were demoted to either a race that lived parallel to humanity or to demonic entities. Post-Enlightenment belief in fairies dramatically decreased. Even so, belief in fairies lingers in small, isolated communities and in the modern New Age and neo-pagan movements that gained popularity in the Anglophone world beginning in the 1960s. Which, I was like, 60s? And then I was like,
yeah,
hippies. Okay, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Everyone was on drugs. I mean, just think about the fairies that we believe in the United States. We have the Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Boogeyman. Basically, look at the 2012 movie, The Rise of the Guardians, and you get the idea. Also, that's a fantastic movie. My little man is 10 and still believes in the Tooth Fairy. He recently told me that he knows about Santa not being real, and he surprisingly took that really well. But he still believes in the Easter Bunny because it lives under the shed at his mom's house, because kid logic.
Oh, yeah, makes perfect sense.
He's seen it. It's real.
I love kid logic.
I do too. It's fascinating. Most of the people I've talked to about this think little women with wings like Thumbelina or Tinkerbell when I asked them what they thought about fairies. So I wanted to broaden people's perspectives. Fairy, is just a broad term for supernatural beings. Much like cryptid would be used in place of Bigfoot or Nessie, fairies can range from wood nymphs to genies depending on where you're at. For instance, the Huldufólk, or hidden people of Iceland, are supernatural beings that live in nature. They look and behave similar to humans, but live in a parallel world. They can make themselves visible at will. The Huldufólk are said to be large in build, their clothes are all gray, and their hair is black. Their dwellings are in the mounds, and they are also called elves. In Iceland, they hold their elves in high regard. In 2006, 32% of Icelanders believed in the existence of these beings to be possible, while 24% believed their existence is either likely or an outright certainty. It is customary for Icelanders to clean and leave food for the elves, as it is believed that they hold parties late at night. On New Year's Eve, it is thought that the Huldufólk move to new locations. As a result, it's tradition to leave candles out to help them find their way. In China, they have the eight fairies, which were all human once, but had achieved immortality through constant practice of esoteric discipline. Dingy!
I think that's a good... It's just another one of those words.
I think that's as good as I'm going to get it. I'm having a time, everybody.
The fae got your tongue?
Oh, God, I hope not. The jinn, also called genies, are from the Arabic mythology, a supernatural spirit below the level of angels and devils. Jinn are beings of flame or air who are capable of assuming human or animal form and are said to dwell in all conceivable inanimate objects, stones, trees, ruins. Underneath the earth, in the air, and in fire. They possess the bodily needs of human beings and can even be killed, but they are free from all physical restraints. Jinn delight in punishing humans for any harm done to them, intentionally or unintentionally, and are said to be responsible for many diseases and all kinds of accidents. However, those human beings knowing the proper magical procedure can exploit the jinn to their advantage. The oldest fairies on record in England were first described by the historian Grievous of Tilbury in the 13th century. Brownies and other hobgoblins are guardian fairies. They are useful ones and do housework and odd jobs around the house. In Aberdeenshire, Scotland, they are hideous to look at. They have no separate toes or fingers, and in Scottish lowlands, they have a hole instead of a nose. Banshees are less common and more sinister. They usually only appear to foretell a tragedy. In Highland tradition, the washer by the ford, a web-foot, one-nostriled, buck-toothed hag, is only seen washing blood-stained clothes when men are about to meet a violent death. Goblins and bugaboos are always malignant. Avoid them if possible. Most of the nature fairies are perhaps descendants of pre-Christian gods and goddesses, or are the spirits of trees and streams. Black Annis, a blue-faced hag, haunts the Dane Hills in Leicestershire, and Gentle Annie, who governs storms in the Scottish lowlands, are perhaps descendants from the Celtic goddess Danu, mother of Ireland's cave fairies. Mermaids and mermen, river spirits and spirits of pools, are the most common nature fairies. Marsh gas makes the flickering flames that hover over marshy grounds and gives rise to the belief in jack-o'-lantern. Jack-o'-lantern, or will-o'-wisp, is the highly dangerous fairy that haunts marshy grounds, luring unwary travelers to their death in the bogs.
So we actually have painted on the side of one of our barns on the family compound. It says Will-o'-Wisp Acres. My grandfather painted it.
God dang it, I love your family.
That's just what he wanted to call it. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you. I love your family so much.
Me too.
Belief in fairies has not completely died out. As recently as 1962, a Somerset farmer's wife told how she had lost her way in the Berkshire Downs and was put on the right track by a small man in green who appeared suddenly at her elbow and then disappeared. Although almost every continent has some sort of fairy lore, none is more well known than those of Ireland. The leprechaun is arguably the most famous Irish fairy of them all. They are earth fairies that specialize in shoemaking. Leprechauns are known for being extremely small, wearing green clothes, and hiding treasure. Despite their popularity, the first accounts of leprechauns didn't appear in English literature until the early 17th century. There is a suggestion that they appeared in The Adventures of Fergus MacLettie as early as the 7th or 8th century. In that text, Fergus, the king of Ulster, discovered three water spirits and asked them for the power to swim underwater, because I guess you just can't hold your breath. However, this Lucerpane, a small water spirit, bears little resemblance to the modern depictions of leprechauns. According to W.B. Yeats, in his 1888 book, Fairy and Folk Tales of Irish Pleasantry, leprechauns are small, withered old men. The popular image of these little men also suggests that they are ill-tempered and mischievous. The Pooka is a fairy to be feared, because he appears after nightfall and can transform its shape into all manner of horrific forms. There are various tales of the Pooka which tell of its ability to change into bats, eagles, dogs, goats, or black horses. In the middle of the night, the Pooka may destroy crops and terrify livestock, but not all stories are negative. An ancient legend, Mythic Charm, and Superstitions of Ireland, written by Lady Wilde in 1887, she writes about how a pooka helped a young man named Fadrig enjoy a life filled with joy and prosperity. He made friends with a spirit who in turn helped thresh the corn. Fadrig was so happy that he created a special suit of clothes for the pooka. The spirit disappeared, but on the day of Fredrick's wedding, he found a goblet of wine. Fredrick guessed that it was a gift from his old friend and drank it. He married his bride and enjoyed happiness and prosperity for the rest of his days.
Huh.
And then we have the Dullahan. This Irish fairy appears as a ghostly horseman and is associated with County Sligo and County Down. A number of people claim to have seen the Dullahan as it rode past. It is depicted as a headless horseman who holds his head under the crook of his arm. The head apparently glows, so the Dullahan uses it as a lantern to help guide him during the night. According to legend, this fairy is capable of looking into its head and seeing the home of a dying person. In a rather macabre twist, the Dullahan uses a human spine as a whip.
Oh.
Yeah. Changelings. The legend of the changeling is popular throughout Europe, especially in Ireland. These creatures are the deformed children of fairies who are abandoned. The parents tend to swap the changeling for a human baby, and these creatures are described as sickly and abnormal. They either fail to pick up language or else their language skills are remarkably advanced. Some changelings are constantly hungry and always crying. The W.B. Yeats poem, The Stolen Child, was inspired by tales of fairies stealing human children and leaving changelings in their place. The tale of these unwanted fairy babies continues to inspire literature and even movies in the modern era. The famous movie Labyrinth acknowledged the famous work of Maurice Sendak, who wrote about changelings in Outside Over There in 1981. And it isn't just fairies themselves that you have to look out for. You also have to make sure you don't stumble into their realms. There are fairy courts, which according to Scottish tradition, fairies can be divided into two primary categories. First of which was the Seely Court. The word Seely translates to English as blessed. The fairies of the Seely Court are generally considered to be benevolent and are known to help humans in need. Even with this friendly disposition, fairies of the Seelie Court can be dangerous if offended. The fairies of the Unseelie Court, in contrast to the fairies of the Seelie Court, are always harmful to humans. The Unseelie Court includes the likes of the Nuklavee and the Redcaps, as well as the restless souls of the dead. Fairy mounds. Fairy hills or fairy forts are the remains of stone circles, ring forts, hill forts, or other circular prehistoric dwellings in Ireland. These remains are said to be either homes for fairies or other supernatural creatures, or portals to the other world. Fairy rings. Now these are the ones you have to look out for.
We have those in our yard.
Oh my fucking god.
Oh, anyway, no. Continue. Anyway.
Fairy rings are naturally occurring rings of mushrooms that are said to be locations where fairies congregate. According to English and Celtic mythology, fairy rings are caused by fairies and elves dancing around in a circle at night. If any human who stumbles upon these festivities enters the fairy ring, they are forced to dance until they are driven insane, die, or pass out from exhaustion. Not only that, but you can also be transported to the land of the Fae. If that happens, here are some rules you need to follow. The power of names. If a Fae knows the full, true name of a human or of another Fae, that Fae has power over that being. Humans are also able to control the fairies with the same rule if they know the name. Think Rumpelstiltskin. Fae food. If humans eat Fae food, they become Fae barked. This means fairies are alerted to their existence in the world more strongly, and they are more inclined to take that person away to the fairylands. If a person eats Fae food in fairylands, they become trapped and unable to stomach human food ever again if they escape. If the Fae who marked or took them releases them from the bonds, they can eat human food again. Otherwise, the person will wither up and die. Amendum. A human can break the spell on another human if they are able to get the afflicted human Fae food in the mortal realm. This is heavily inspired by the poem The Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti. Iron. Fairies cannot stand the touch of iron. It burns and weakens them. In high enough doses, it can kill them. Modern cities are risky for the Fae to live in because they risk running into iron, though the risks have been lessened by the modern metal smithing and steel. Low-grade steel can have a similar, though less caustic effect on the Fae. Breathing in air saturated by iron particles can leave them sick. The truth. Fairies cannot lie. So they have become masters of language to twist their words around and still be able to get what they want. Master manipulators, they can tell half-truths, and some even more powerful Fae can tell white lies. Glamour. The main magic that all Fae possess. It lets them manipulate how and what humans see. It lets them hide, change their appearance, disguise objects as other objects, create illusions out of thin air, etc. And thus concludes my lecture on fairies. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Please remember not to tell people your whole names and watch out for fairy rings. And thank you very much.
My mom used to tell me, which now that you tell me the whole thing about the dancing in the fairy rings, kind of makes it a little macabre, but my mother used to tell me when I was little and I would wake up with my hair very like tangled and like matted and stuff from rolling around that the fairies must have been dancing in my hair that night.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it is now. And that fae group that I mentioned earlier, actually, a bunch of them one time told me that I probably had a brownie in my house and needed to leave an offering out for it. Because, I had underneath my sink. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I can't remember. Underneath my sink, there was a vase that caught a leak that I was unaware of and that would have completely destroyed the underside of my sink. Had that vase not been in the specific spot to catch all of the drips that just like I was just like, I got really lucky. And they're like, nah, bitch, you got a fae in your house. You should thank it.
Well, as long as you don't, like, you can leave it cream or sugar. Do not leave it closed, though, because then it'll go away. Because that's the story of, oh, what is it? The shoemaker.
Yes.
Yeah, like those were brownies that were helping him make it, and then like he and his wife were
Make
like,
the little shoes
we made them
and
little clothes, and then they're like, fuck
yeah.
you, we're done. Look at
Yeah.
me. Because they get all uppity. They're like, look at me, my nice clothes. Goodbye.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need to help anymore. We got these nice clothes, whatever.
Exactly. I'm rich, bitch.
I love that story. That's one of my favorite
I do too.
old stories,
So,
fairy tales.
my sources this week were mythos.fandom.com, Wikipedia, theportallist.com, Taiwan Today, historicuk.com, celticweddings.com, britannica.com, and then english.wordpress.com.
You did some research this time.
I love fairies.
I do too.
I'm terrified of them because, like I said, like everyone's just like, oh yeah, fairies. I'm like, no, fuck fairies.
I know they're terrifying entities, actually, but.
I don't tell anybody my whole name. Well, I mean, I do, but I'm just saying, like, those people I've vetted.
Why do you think our names are what they are on the podcast so the Fae can't get us through the podcast?
Exactly.
We
Also,
don't know if our listeners are the Fae. Like, you could be.
oh my God.
You probably are.
It's like, if you are, I will tell you my name, but I will not give you my name. Because there you go. You can't have it, but you can know it. Not all of it. Hi, I'm Betty. I'm gonna drink my wine. So yeah, that is all I have this week. I did that really fast. But anyway, guys, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back from our processing break. Thank you so much for waiting the 5.2 seconds, if even that. But anyway, it is now Manda's turn, so tell me a story.
I am going to tell you an actual story
Okay.
because, as I mentioned while our video, audio, whatever was processing, I recently got my second round of the COVID vaccine. Hooray! Totally worth it, but the second dose, the side effects like were rough for me. I ended up with a really high, like 102 something fever.
Of
And like
course.
the chills that like make your teeth clatter kind of chills, like just in the middle of the night. And so of course I'm laying there feverish. I feel like crap. I can't sleep. My head's pounding. So I'm like, let's think of scary things. So I had a notepad open on my phone and just started jotting down just some weird incoherent things that maybe I'll share on the Patreon. Who knows? I love fever induced notes. So a story evolved from that. Not sure if it's going to be a good story, but because it was fever induced.
Sometimes those are good stories. Sometimes those are really weird whenever you look back at it when you're not fever induced.
Yes.
But either
So
way, bring it on.
Yeah, just a little story. Don't have a title for it, but let's just jump into it. Each morning, I'm awoken to a tapping on my window and happy little chirps from the hungry birds. We have those cool little bird feeders that suction right onto the window so you can see the birds really close up while they enjoy a hearty breakfast of sunflower seeds, out of reach from the squirrels below who are always trying to get at the food. I hate those damn squirrels. I enjoy hearing the taps and sometimes even join in as a sort of little game. The birds tap, I'll tap back, and then they respond. We usually go in rounds about 3 times each, sometimes less. It's a daily occurrence that I look forward to each morning. Lately, though, they've started tapping at night. I don't know much about the eating or sleep patterns of birds, but it did seem a little weird at first. hearing them tap, tap, tap on my window late into the night. But I did my normal back and forth game with them, although less enthusiastically since half the time I was awoken from a deep slumber to the tapping sounds. This kept up for a few weeks, every morning and again at night. I got curious tonight and decided I wanted to sneak a peek at these nocturnal birds. I wondered what they looked like.
No.
Foreshadowing.
I don't like it.
Were they the same ones I saw in the morning? Finches? Cardinals? Maybe a blue jay? I don't know. I waited up this time. About 2:30 a.m. rolled around and the tapping game began. It's around the same time each night. Tap, tap, tap. I tap back. Tap, tap, tap. Again from the birds. Tap, tap, tap. This time I slowly peeled back the curtain. There were no birds. Instead, staring back at me was a creature. Stringy hair, a large toothy grin, and piercing eyes. I screamed and reeled back with such force that I fell off the bed. What is that thing? I thought to myself. Is that what I've been hearing every night? Is that what I've been playing this game with? Sleep was out of the question now. I was too full of adrenaline by this point. I'd moved myself into the hallway, away from the window. I could no longer hear any tapping, but I wasn't about to get up to look and see if that creature was gone. Exhausted and terrified, I waited for the morning sun to shine through. I felt safe again. I could hear the taps on my window, alarmed for a moment, but then relieved when I heard the familiar little bird chirps that accompanied the taps once again. That must have been a nightmare last night, right? I thought to myself. There's no way that really happened. It couldn't. I mean, the thing, for one, would have to be like 7 or 8 feet tall. That or be floating or something in order to even reach the window. Yeah, no. No way that was real. It had to have just been a bad dream. As the evening grew closer, I couldn't help but feel a little tense, though. Laying in bed, I stared at the window until I eventually drifted off to sleep, likely from the lack of it the night prior. That night, I heard it again, as I always did. Tap, tap, tap. It woke me up. Frozen in fear, I didn't tap back. I know I tried to convince myself it was just a bad dream last night, but part of me knew that wasn't true, no matter how much I tried to rationalize what I saw away. Tap, tap, tap. Louder this time, and much more forceful sounding. I've never not tapped back at the sound, not once since it began. Tap, tap, tap. Again, this time, angry and more rapid. What do you want? I cried out. This isn't a game anymore. This isn't funny. Whoever or whatever you are, just go. You're not welcome here. Bang, bang, bang. My window shook. It was going to break it if I didn't answer back. Not wanting to know what would happen if it made its way inside, I quickly tapped the window again. It did it again. I responded. Back and forth. It stopped. So now, nightly, I always make sure to wake up and respond to the tapping on my window, as I fear too much what may happen if I don't. I hope this nightly game ends soon. It was fun when it was just the birds. So yeah, that was just a short story. basically came about because we actually do have those bird feeders like stuck up high on our window because we had such a problem with squirrels getting on our bird feeders. So we got these little suction cup ones because they're really high up on the windows. And like literally every morning, like I get woken up by the sound of the birds because they'll tap on the window. Like, I don't know if they're trying to get at the sunflower seed or what, but it's like a rhythmic tapping. Sometimes it almost sounds like a knocking. And so I was laying there at like 3 in the morning, really sick with a fever and chills. And I was like staring at the window and I was like, you know, that would be really scary if those birds were tapping on the window, but it was like the middle of the night.
I don't like it.
Yeah, my mom didn't either. She was like, and then at the end of the story, there's like a cute little possum and like you feed him some jelly and you guys are friends. And I was like, well, that is a nicer ending. But yeah, and she was like, what kind of thoughts are those that you're having? And I was like, fever-induced thoughts in the middle of the night. I like to scare myself, apparently.
It's like, no. No, thank you. No, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Go away, please. But yeah, I just had that thought, like, what if I heard that tapping in the middle of the night and just, like, looked out my window? Because I can usually look out and we get a lot of finches and redbirds particularly. And so I like to look at them and it's really cute and cool. But then I was like, what if I opened it? And then there was just, like, a face there.
And then it just goes, I'm old Greg.
What you doing by my window?
What you doing in my window? Do you like Bailey's?
I'll leave Bailey's out as an offering. Maybe it'll stop tapping on my window at night if I leave it some Bailey's.
Just put a shoe out. Not even with Bailey's in it. Just a shoe.
Just a shoe. That's all it needs.
I got all things that are good. Okay, this is better now. It's old Greg. It's fine.
We're okay if it's old Greg. It's all right.
I'm a scaly man fish. I'm going to watch all of those videos.
Yeah. I went and rewatched those the other day.
Dude, did I tell you I had an old Greg show up for Halloween?
No, that's awesome. Really?
It was one of my last ones for the night. And like a guy came up and I was just looking at him for a second. I was like, are you old Greg? And he goes, I'm a scaly man fish.
Yes. That's like, awesome.
Take the rest of the cauldron. It's yours. You're done.
I ran into an old Greg at the last con I went to, which was 2018, which is insane that it's been 2018 since I've been to a convention. But there was an old Greg running around there. It was pretty great because I hadn't seen one of those at a con yet. So I was pretty pumped.
You guys don't know what old Greg is? Google it.
Yeah, just go Google it. I feel like old Greg could count as the Fae.
Old Greg is definitely a Fae. He's a merman. And that was one of the things I covered. Merman.
Exactly. So, there you go. It counts.
That curly Jefferson. I used to be able to quote that entire video. And not only that, but also my friend Mel and I, we used to play a game that we called Old Greg. Where we would go to a store late at night, like either Kmart or Walmart at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's the best time to go.
And you start at the very back of the store and you have to make your way to the front of the store by popping out of things going, I'm old Greg, without anyone catching you. It worked better at Kmart when Kmart was still a store. Because I'm that old.
I'm going to say, did any of you ever, like, succeed in that? I feel like Walmart would be hard because there's, like, I don't know. There's some people at Walmart at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m.
I startled an old woman one time because I popped out of, like, the clothes. And I went, I'm old Greg! And there was a woman and she goes, ah! And I was like, oh, God. And just popped back down. And I was like, army crawling to the next one. I was like, oh, God. I'm going to get kicked out.
They're going to be looking for me. That's great.
But that was when I was 18 going into 19. I was technically homeless. And it was probably the best summer of my life.
Pretending to be old Greg in a Walmart or Kmart at 3 a.m. Good times. Hey, you know, that's pretty good wholesome fun.
It really was.
You could have been getting into, like, all kinds of shenanigans. Like,
I really could. And you know what? That summer was my first summer of ever having any freedom whatsoever. Like I said, I was technically homeless. I'll tell that story on the Patreon if you guys want to go on over there. But, yeah, no. You know what? Yeah, I'll tell that story on the Patreon.
Do it. You do that. I'll share my feverish notes that make no sense.
Exactly. But, yeah. Okay, now that I feel better.
You've wiped away the scariness.
I was spooked. I don't know if you saw my face, but
I did. I saw you peeking up over your popcorn.
I was using my popcorn as a shield, and not just for my person, sis.
It doesn't help that when we record this podcast, I'm literally sitting directly in front of a window, like because that's where my desk is at. Because I like to look out the window when I'm working in the daytime.
Yeah. Desk is right next to the window in my office as well, but I have the curtains drawn, and I swear to God, if I hear a noise out of there, first I'm gonna master sword it, and second I'm coming after you with love.
Just leave sword. Just leave a shoe out and you'll be all right.
Can you want the babies?
It's probably maybe old Greg and Hopefully not a demon tapping three times on the window.
Fuck. Oh, I'm gonna have nightmares. Good job. That was great.
Thanks. Thank you,
You're welcome.
fever. Thank you, COVID side effects, I guess, for the inspiration. Thank you,
You
birds.
for real scared me. I didn't believe it.
Thanks. I appreciate it when I can get a good scare out of my stories.
Okay, guys. Well, here comes to the announcement part of the episode.
Which is great. We have plenty of time for announcements this time.
I know, right? So, our birthday is coming up. Technically, our birthday is about to happen by the time this comes out. No. In between this episode and the next episode is our birthday.
Yes.
It is our third birthday. We're officially toddlers.
That's crazy.
I know. We're potty trained. You know,
We
they
can
can.
walk and talk.
Yeah, man.
We'll
We can.
be aging up to the child version by the fourth year,
Yeah, no, it's great. We're gonna
if we
start
were
pre-K
Sims.
soon.
Yeah. We're ready.
Yay, I can wipe my own ass.
I don't know about pre-Kers and not all of them.
I know. Just wanted to quote
No, you're
it.
great.
But we have a special birthday episode that we're going to be doing next. Amanda, do we want to tell them what that is, or do we want to surprise them?
I feel like it should be a surprise.
I like this idea. Yes. So we're
Just
not going to tell
because
you what
of
it
the
is yet.
subject.
We're not telling you. You're just going to have to tune into the next episode for our birthday.
Ooh, we could give them a hint though, assuming it's still findable on our website. I don't know if it is though.
I do believe it is, but I don't know of anyone that's found it.
Well, if anybody can find on our website,
Which is nightmaretownpodcast.com.
there is a little bit of a secret on there, and if you can find it, then you'll know what we're going to talk about. And
Theo
if you
put
can't
Easter
find it,
eggs.
you'll just wait.
Exactly. Theo went and put Easter eggs in our website, and he's working on it to where I can actually go in and post things on it because there's not been anything posted since we got merch.
It's been a minute.
He's been a busy bee, okay?
Yeah.
He's always on the go. So just the fact that we have a website, I'm like, that's awesome. Pretty
Yeah, like that's
validating.
enough, really.
It's fine. We don't need anything else. So yeah, there's our birthdays coming up. Recently, I was interviewed by another podcast, and that is coming out at the end of April, and that is from the Pick Me podcast. So they're doing a podcaster's choice, which is pretty cool. So I got to talk about us, and I got to talk about some of our favorite podcasts, such as Haunter, I Barely Know Her, and Nerd It Through the Grapevine, our siblings.
You know.
But yeah, no, so like that happened. Let's see, so birthday, Pick Me's coming out. And yeah, we'll have another announcement at the end of our birthday episode as well. That is kind of cool. A lot of cool. So some things are happening, people.
Pretty cool.
Things and stuffs. Anything else? Oh. Also, before we get going, I just wanted to remind everybody that we do have a Patreon. So if you were wanting to like get exclusives like me talking about the summer that I was technically homeless, you can go over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/nightmaretownpod, or nope, patreon.com/nightmaretownpodcast. We have three tiers. We have Neighborhood Watch for $5, where you get early access to episodes, stickers, and shout out during episodes. We have Bella Break for $8, where you get the same as Neighborhood Watch, and you also get behind the scenes cryptid plush that Manda made, and they are freaking awesome, and
Yes.
bonus episodes, which is probably where I will post that one because I think I'm just going to do a video on it or a live stream. I don't know yet. We'll
That would
figure it
probably be
out.
easier than typing it all out.
Oh yeah, that summer was a lot. And our third tier is called Creepy Cryptid for $10 a month, where you get the same as Neighborhood Watch and Bella Break, and you get one of our pins, And you get access to our Discord, which... Discord is actually really fun. I've never had a lot of... I didn't have a reason to be on there, but Nerd It Through the Grapevine started one, and we're on it, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Like,
I love Discord. I have fun on there. I'm in some, con artist alley type groups.
Nice.
And it's fun.
I think I need to make just a Betty Boom one and stop using the Nightmare Town podcast one. But, yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. So, I believe that's all of our announcements. Do you have anything to announce?
I do not. Right. I do not have any announcements this time.
Okay, doke. Well, we're going to get off here. And again, I don't know why I'm doing this like it's a phone call.
Just a little southern goodbye.
Oh, yeah. But if you guys... Oh, well, we're not going to draw from the not hat, so that's probably why this feels weird.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But if you guys have your own stories to tell or ideas for the Not Hat, go ahead and hit us up at nightmaretown18@gmail.com, over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at nightmaretown18. And, yeah, I've already said our Patreon. And, yeah, those are all the things. Huh. Our spiel was weird this time, but I liked it.
Yeah, it works. All right, so drawing from the knot hat.
Oh, no, we don't need to draw from the knot hat because our next one is our birthday, remember?
That's right. So throwing me off.
Well, the next time that we have an episode, you will be the one doing the picking.
Yes.
But anyway.
Until next time.
Tell us a story.
Bye.